Each person is born unique, and our hearts are no different. However, those born with heart defects or abnormalities in the structure of their heart may require special education and support due to their condition. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, nearly 1% of people born in the United States will have a heart defect. That's nearly 40,000 children a year. As with any chronic illness, sometimes half the battle is getting diagnosed. If you're concerned your child may be at risk for cardiac disease, tune in to today's episode where we talk about the field of fetal cardiology and diagnosing heart defects. This is Voices of Pediatrics from Duke University. I'm your host, Prakash Chandran. Joining the discussion today is my guest, Dr. Angelo Milazzo. He's a vice chair for practice and clinical affairs and professor of pediatrics with Duke University. Dr. Milazzo, thank you so much for having us today. I truly appreciate your time. I guess the first question is really a more general one. For those of us that don't know, can you please explain the field of fetal cardiology?
Yes, and thank you for the opportunity today. It's a great pleasure to be here. Fetal cardiology is the discipline within medicine that is focused on making diagnoses of various types of heart defects and diseases in children before they're born. So our patients are pregnant women who, for one reason or another, may be suspected to be carrying a fetus with a cardiac problem. Our job is to analyze the situation, evaluate the fetus, make a diagnosis, and then make recommendations both for the pregnancy and for what will occur after the baby is born.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And so I guess it kind of begs the question, when do you know when there might be a concern with the fetus that has cardiac disease? Like, is it in kind of preliminary analysis of a woman that is pregnant, or do you use some sort of other method?
In most cases, there's been a preliminary analysis. So someone else in the routine course of the woman's obstetrical care has made a determination that there might be something wrong with the fetus, either through the results of an ultrasound or by knowing something about the woman's medical history, which could be relevant to the cardiac health of the fetus. So in most cases, there's a warning sign and someone has pre-screened the patient and directed her to us for evaluation.
So I know that there are ultrasounds during a pregnancy, and those ultrasounds show the fetus's heartbeat. I'm assuming that when there is an abnormal heart rhythm, that's when things need to get escalated. Is that more or less correct?
That's absolutely correct. It could be something that's heard in the fetal heart rhythm. It could be the appearance of the fetal heart when the ultrasound is done. So, for example, when the obstetrician is doing an ultrasound to look at the various structures of the fetus, the heart is an important part of that evaluation, and they're looking for certain features of the heart that are normal. When things don't look the way they're expected to look, that's a signal that there could be a structural or functional abnormality that needs to be investigated further.
Okay. So if that happens, can you talk to us a little bit about the process around how that escalation happens and who gets involved?
The process starts when the woman is being evaluated, usually by an obstetrician or by a maternal fetal medicine specialist. As I said, they undergo an evaluation and there's a signal that something could be wrong with the fetal heart. At that point, there is a little bit of counseling that occurs between the obstetrician and the patient. And part of that counseling is a suggestion and a recommendation that she be evaluated by a pediatric cardiologist who specializes in fetal cardiology. A referral is made to one of us, an appointment is scheduled, and then that woman comes to see us in a completely separate visit, usually on a different day, unless it's an emergency, in which case we'll try to see the patient the same day. They come to the visit and we begin the process of fetal evaluation.
Okay, so then let's talk about your role as a pediatric cardiologist. When you evaluate a fetus, what exactly does that mean?
The woman comes to the appointment, we begin with a conversation, and that conversation is us getting to learn a little about the woman and what's going on with her personal medical health and also her health during the pregnancy. Then we dive into some details about family history, looking for potential risk factors such as genetic or heritable diseases. Then we talk about what's going to happen next, which is the actual ultrasound of the fetal heart. So we give a lot of pretest counseling so the patient knows exactly what to expect. When that part is over, we bring the woman into the ultrasound lab where a technologist that we call a sonographer does the actual scanning of the fetus. That test takes roughly 20 to 25 minutes, and then the cardiologist evaluates the images that were collected. In many cases, we will actually go back and do some scanning of our own if we want to see something in more detail or to our satisfaction. But that scanning evaluation is a very comprehensive, very detailed imaging study of the fetus where we look at all the details of the cardiac anatomy. When that's done, we have a counseling session with the patient to review the results and explain the significance of the findings, whether they're normal or abnormal.
Yeah, you know, I can only imagine that when there is a concern or a discovery that there's an abnormality, it's scary, right? And so I think that initial counseling session, going over a comprehensive view of how things are going to happen, is number one, very important. And number two, just hearing about all of what you do to look at the cardiac anatomy to ensure you're taking the right course of action. When you find these abnormalities during your evaluation process, what should people know about how likely it is that you can repair them?
So there's a wide range of things we might find on a prenatal scan and evaluation. Unfortunately, most of what we find is quite significant disease, things that are unlikely to mend or repair themselves over time. The good news, though, is the vast majority of what we do find, although these findings are serious, the vast majority of these findings are treatable. And when I do my counseling, I usually like to put that piece ahead of a detailed explanation because it really alters the atmosphere. It really alters the temperature in the room, so to speak, and it creates an environment of trust. And it makes it more of a two-way conversation rather than me lecturing and providing some really frightening information to a patient. So the good news is most of what we do lends itself to treatment after the baby is born.
Well, that is very good to hear. So you're saying that a lot of what you find as that pediatric cardiologist, even though it is serious and it's unlikely to repair itself, it is treatable. And that is really good to hear. And I think it's wonderful that you open up with that. Can you talk in a little bit more detail around what treatment looks like?
Treatment varies based on diagnosis, of course. But for most of our patients, treatment will involve some type of surgery. And this, of course, you know, again, is usually a cause of great anxiety for the pregnant woman, for her family members who may be attending the visit. So we take great pains to describing these surgical treatments in detail. The other thing that tends to be alarming is that many of our surgical treatments must be performed within, if not the first few days, at least the first few weeks of life. So the thought of having to give birth to a baby, which, you know, for many women, if it's their first time, is anxiety provoking enough. And then you add the thought of having to have surgery in the newborn period. It's extraordinarily concerning and a source of anxiety and consternation for these folks. So we do a lot of counseling and a lot of literal and figurative handholding in that evaluation session. But yes, most of the treatments require surgery. Most of these surgeries are complex and sophisticated. And we spend a lot of time discussing them both in broad terms and in specific terms so that these parents feel prepared for what's about to happen.
Now, I'd seen a documentary a couple of years ago where a procedure was done in utero. So I guess before the baby was officially born, to treat a fetus. Are those procedures that you also do depending on the diagnosis?
There are some very rare cases and some very carefully chosen cases where there is the potential for prenatal intervention. We don't do these at our center because the greatest success in these very rare and very technically complicated interventions comes in centers that have the most experience. Because these things are rare, there are only a couple of centers in the world, really, that have accumulated enough experience to be able to do this. So we have made referrals of these patients to those centers. But again, these are extraordinarily sophisticated, delicate procedures. The patients are chosen very carefully, and it's only a rare candidate that is eligible for these fetal interventions.
Now, I guess I want to just take a step back and just talk more broadly around who's at the most risk for developing fetal cardiac disease. And are there any signs or symptoms that parents or soon-to-be parents should be looking out for?
Yeah, this is a great question. And the list is quite broad, but there are some general categories that are important. One category would be if the woman has a family history of another child born with congenital heart disease. It may be a child in her own family. It may be someone related and not an immediate family member. It could be a sibling or a parent or a grandparent who is affected. So a positive family history is an indication for evaluation. Large group of individuals who must be screened are individuals that have other birth defects or genetic diseases. So if the fetus has already been diagnosed with another type of birth defect, and it could be of any of the major organ systems, or if the fetus has a genetic disease, and there are many examples of genetic diseases such as Down syndrome, which are strongly associated with cardiac disease, those fetuses need to be evaluated. There are also some maternal conditions which require evaluation. One of the most common reasons for referral is maternal diabetes. And diabetes is relatively common in pregnancy, and it is a risk factor for birth defects, including birth defects of the heart. The final category I would mention is the use of reproductive technology, such as in vitro fertilization. There seems to be a small but real enhanced risk of birth defects in those cases, although that technology has improved in the decades since it was first initiated. So there are a host of reasons for referral, a host of potential indications for the test, and we see women for all of those reasons and more.
You know, something I should have asked at the top that I'm curious about is when we talk about heart disease in adults, we usually are talking about plaque buildup in the arteries, like coronary artery disease. For fetal cardiology or heart conditions within the fetus, is it the same thing? Is it related to plaque buildup, or is it completely different?
It's completely different. And this is a really important point to get across, that these women who are coming to have their fetuses evaluated, the evaluation is for structural and functional abnormalities that are unrelated to the kinds of cardiac disease that we face in adulthood. So even if we diagnose a very significant heart defect in a fetus, that has no bearing and no relationship to future risk for things like coronary artery disease, like you've described. In most cases, it's completely related to things like high blood pressure or high cholesterol, all of which are a separate category of disease. Now, in general pediatric cardiology, we deal with some of those things in childhood because it is important to address them. But in fetal cardiology, we're really looking at a very isolated, very separate set of patients with a separate set of problems, really unrelated to the kinds of adult cardiac problems which are so common in the population.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. You know, just as we start to close, I'd love just maybe any advice that you'd have to parents whose child was just diagnosed with a heart disease or defect.
I think the most important advice is to reach out. Reach out to sources of information that you trust. Ask your cardiologist if he or she can put you in touch with another family who's already been through it. Look for support groups which are ubiquitous, whether you want something that's online or whether you want face-to-face or in-person experience. There are so many families that have had the experience of a child with congenital heart disease because congenital heart defects are the most common birth defects in humans. That means there are a variety of people who are willing to share those experiences and act as a resource. And that's the advantage of knowing before. Before we had this technology, women would give birth to these children, and it was a complete and utter surprise and a terrible shock. That's no longer the case. We make greater than 90% of our diagnoses today during pregnancy, which really allows families time to acclimate to the idea, to reach out for resources, and to develop a support network and a support system before the baby is even born. This is incredibly important, both for their emotional well-being, and as studies have shown, for the outcomes. We know that prenatal counseling and prenatal care really does improve the outcomes for these children. And that's why we feel so passionately about advocating for early counseling, early diagnosis, and early support.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So Dr. Milazzo, just before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience today?
I hope our audience today has broadened their perspective a bit on what we're able to diagnose prenatally. And I hope that they will come away from this conversation knowing that there are some significant diagnoses that we make during fetal life and during pregnancy, but those diagnoses are by and large treatable. And the work that we're doing isn't simply to make a diagnosis, but it really is to impact the care of these children and their health so that they can grow up to be children with an excellent quality of life and in no way limited by their cardiac disease.
Well, Dr. Milazzo, I think that is the perfect place to end. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That was Dr. Angelo Milazzo, Vice Chair for Practice and Clinical Affairs and Professor of Pediatrics with Duke University. If you found this podcast to be helpful, please share it on your social channels. And for more episodes, you can check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thank you for listening to Voices of Pediatrics from Duke University. I'm Prakash Chandran. Thank you so much and stay well.